Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
We started a series last week called Our Hidden Advantage. I haven't done a series on the Holy Spirit. Actually, it's been 2 years. And so I want to make sure I did that this year. And our hidden advantage, our text is John, the 16th chapter. This is Jesus talking. He says, nevertheless, he's talking to his disciples. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper, he's talking about the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. As I was just looking at that scripture again, you know, the beautiful thing about God's word is it's alive. And we never exhaust all of the wisdom out of it. And as I was looking at that again, I thought Jesus looked at a group of men who had been with him for 3 years, 3.5 years. They'd had meals with him. They'd worked with him. They'd watched him do miracles. I mean, these guys had a relationship. I mean, they got to sit next to Jesus and pass the bread. You got to pass the bread to Jesus and talk to Jesus, and he was there, and you're thinking, man, that's great. And Jesus looks at these guys and said, hey, it's to your advantage, I'm going. And I'm thinking, wow. If Jesus would tell these guys who walked with him for 3.5 years, it was to their advantage that he would leave because the Holy Spirit would come, how much more for us who did not personally walk with him is an advantage to us to have the Holy Spirit? I figured if these guys needed the helper, I definitely need the helper. And so it's an interesting phrase that he said, it's to your advantage that I go away. Now, we talked last week about the purpose of this is we want to begin to recognize, respond, respect, and respond to the Holy Spirit in our life, to recognize him. You know, if you don't know you have something, you never know how to take advantage of it. There was a time when you actually had to pay. You have to go, I'm going to go back in time now. When you actually could not pay with your phone. You had something called cash. It's the green stuff that sometimes a lot of places don't take it anymore. And I've even seen commercials about someone trying to pay with cash, and people are like shaming him for trying to do it. But it used to be you had to pay with cash. And if you carried a wallet, because again, you didn't have a wallet in your phone, you carried a wallet. I used to put money in, I used to hide money in my wallet. I had a compartment that if you opened up my wallet, you wouldn't see any money, but there was a compartment in it that I had money. I got so good at hiding money, I didn't know I had some in there. And I remember going to a drive-in. I was in outside sales, and I was going through a drive-in. This is during the days where I could eat hamburgers. I didn't have huge screens I was up on, but I could eat hamburgers. And I pulled into a Wendy's and ordered something, then got to the driving window, had no money. So I had to just drive on and wave. I was staying in a hotel that night, and I got to the hotel, and I happened to look through my wallet. I had $20 there, and I could have eaten. But if you don't know you have it, you don't know to use it. And so with the Holy Spirit, if you don't even recognize that he's there, he's real, then we won't look to him. But if we know he's real, then we got someone we can look to. So recognize, respect, and respond. We talked last week about why is there so much hesitancy about the Holy Spirit? And we said a lot of it's due to a lack of understanding. So tonight I'm actually going to go through some things about, they're historical, but they are the fact that the Holy Spirit did not show up on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit's always been here. It's the third person of the Godhead. And so lack of understanding, misinformation. You know, there's some people that will tell you that, you know, all the works of the Holy Spirit has passed away, but that's misinformation because it hasn't. He's still God. He didn't change. And then it's hard to personify the Holy Spirit. And so we think of ghost, that's an old English word. People like ghost. And so they have a harder time with that. But the Holy Spirit showed up in the Old Testament, and he actually showed up right from the beginning. Let's look at this in Genesis Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was out form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. That's in the very first book. Leave it up there just for a second. You read that, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You believe that? I heard someone say one time, and I'm going to steal it. I thought it was such a great... They said, if you can believe that, the rest of the Bible should be no problem to you. If you believe that our God created the heavens and the earth, the stars, the earth, the moon, the suns, the billions of stars that we had, probably trillions of stars that are out there, if we believe that God created that, then when people balk at Jonah, you know, being swallowed by a whale, or the Red Sea parting, or Jesus feeding 5,000. Hey, if you can believe he created the heavens and the earth, everything else is easy. And said the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the water. So that's where we see the Spirit of God show up right there. See, a lot of times people, if you ask about the Holy Spirit, they don't know enough about him to even comment. But now you know something. You're like, no, he's right there from the beginning. He was the help for the nation of Israel. When they came out of Egypt, when Moses led them out, I want you to see some scripture about the Holy Spirit and his help. Exodus 13 said, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. So everywhere they went, there was a cloud, and they followed that. We'll read that in just a second. And there was fire. You say, well, how do you know that's the Holy Spirit? When the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, he came with tongues of what? Fire. And then when they dedicated the temple in the Old Testament, the scriptures say that a cloud fills the temple to the point where the priest couldn't even stand up. And so the Spirit of God showing up as a cloud and as a fire was something that... was helpful to Israel. Numbers, the 9th chapter. Again, I'm going to give you a lot of scripture. Now, on the day that the tabernacle was raised up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, the tent of the testimony. From evening until morning, it was above the tabernacle like an appearance of fire. So it was always. The cloud covered it by day and the appearance of fire by night. Whenever the cloud was taken up from among the tabernacle, after that the children of Israel would journey. And the place where the cloud settled, there the children of Israel would pitch their tents. Isn't that neat? God led them all the way through the wilderness. They would get up in the morning and they would look, and if the cloud had stayed, then they stayed. But if the cloud had moved, everyone packed up. Sometimes the cloud would move into days. Sometimes it would stay for weeks. And so they just got up and began to learn to be led by what's the cloud doing. Then at night it was fire. Now a lot of times we think, man, that would be so cool. To be able to wake up and just look outside and the cloud was, okay, the cloud's there, I'm going to work. But we actually have a better covenant than they do. Don't ever look back on the Old Testament and go, wow, oh, I wish I'd been there. You got a better deal with God than they had under the Old Covenant, because now you don't have to wait for a cloud. You are the temple of God. 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, verse 19 says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Listen, if God was willing to lead his servants, the children of Israel, in the wilderness, how much more is he willing to lead us, his children, by his Spirit? And so what we learn is if Israel got led by the cloud and by the fire, We have that Holy Spirit living on the inside of us, and he can lead us. Are you hearing me? Yes. But it won't be from an outside thing. So a lot of times we get caught up in outside things. People look for signs. They look for feelings. Listen, the Holy Spirit can lead you on the inside. Have you ever had what we would call a gut feeling? Almost all of us have had hunches. We're just like, man, I had a feeling. I had a sensing. And what you'll learn to do, if you'll learn to sense that and follow that, the Holy Spirit can lead you. And he can lead you not just on when to go and when to come. He can lead you on who to marry. Now, I had someone that mentioned my message Sunday, and they thought that their spouse was divorcing them, and they got confused at my message. They thought maybe that they were giving up something for more of God. Let me make one thing perfectly clear. When you got married, that became the right one. I said, when you became married, that became the right one. You're never going to hear me advocate you leaving your marriage because God called you to leave your marriage. No, that's not the Lord. He recognizes the marriage covenant. And if you're married, do everything you can to make it work. Now, I realize it takes two. I get that. It takes two. But if you have two people willing, God will help you. You can make it work. You just show me two people who are willing to say, Lord, I want what you want. You can make it work. It takes two. But you be one that does everything you can to make it work. So no confusion there. I don't believe this person's spouse was divorcing them because God had called them to something better. Am I clear on that? Good. Being led by the Spirit, we'll talk a little bit more about that later, but just understand that if you're the temple of God, that the Holy Spirit can live in you, and just like He led Israel, He can lead you. He can lead you into what jobs to take. He can lead you into small things in life. He can lead you into big things in life. The Holy Spirit is good. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. This is in Romans. And He actually can lead you. But if you don't know that you can be led by Him, you won't even look to Him. Being led by the Spirit is how this church got started. Joy and I were thinking we were going to Switzerland. And we prayed about that, and then we lost that sense on the inside. I'm driving down I-45, crossing over 336, and Conroe dropped in my heart. And I went home, told Joy, I said, we're supposed to start church in Conroe. She looked at me, she said, Conroe? Because in 1996, it wasn't like Conroe was a hot place to move to. In fact, they told me when they started, they said, oh, I wouldn't start a church in Conroe. It's a preacher's graveyard. Oh my God. I'm like, whoever came up with that? Wasn't for me. I'm still alive, still kicking. And so, but what I'm saying is, Conroe wasn't on anybody's map as a place to demographically you wanted to go to start a church. But the Holy Spirit knew. He knew it would be one of the fastest growing areas in the nation. He knew that. I didn't know that. I just was led. And so when I told Joey Conroe, and she's like, okay, and we prayed about it. I actually, when we got a place to start, I actually looked around some other places, and every other place I went, I had no peace. And I came back, but God wanted it here. And so this is what we did. The Holy Spirit will lead you. And that's one of the most important things you can learn, is to be led by Him. Because He's not going to lead you wrong. He will lead you, and He will lead you in small things. He'll lead you in big things. He's led me to get jobs. He's led me to apply for things. He's helped me in business. Listen, He is a helper. He's not in us to hitch a ride through life. He's in us to help us. Yeah. And so if He helped Israel, He will help us. So the Holy Spirit will lead. Now this is interesting. Because we make a big deal out of some of the heroes in the Old Testament, but He was the empowering force behind the Old Testament heroes. We make a big deal over David. He's one of my favorite. But David wasn't operating simply on his own. Look at this in 1 Samuel. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, David, in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. Samuel rose and went to Ramah. Did you catch that? The Spirit of the Lord came upon David. So we look at David and go, I have no idea how David could face a giant. I have no idea how David could do all the things he could do. He could if the Spirit of God was on him. And so when you look at these Old Testament heroes, then you begin to realize, hey, wait a minute. These weren't just superhuman, incredible people. These were people, regular people, that God anointed with His Holy Spirit. And His Spirit, the same Spirit that created the heavens and the earth, can get things done. And so you got David. Now here's another one. Samson. Every time Hollywood shows Samson, he's this hulking person. Just big guy, you're just a monster guy. Couldn't have been. I said he couldn't have been. If he was 6'8", but with 10% body fat, weighing 300 pounds, no one would wonder where his great strength came from. Remember, they kept sending Delilah to try to figure out why he was so strong. He must have been 5'10". Say, where'd you hear that? I made that up. No, but listen, look what happened here. Samson, Judges, 14th chapter. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. This is Samson. And he tore the lion apart as one would have torn a young goat. I don't know why goat tearing was a deal back then, but evidently. Though he had nothing in his hand. But he'd tell his father and mother what happened. A lion came and he tore a lion apart. You're thinking, that was a strong dude. He wasn't a strong dude. He was a regular dude empowered by the Spirit of God. And here's the beautiful thing is, the same Spirit that was on David lives in you. And the same Spirit that was on Samson lives in you. And so you say, well, I don't have to face giants. All of us face giants in our life. All of us face lions in our life. All of us face problems in our life. I'm so glad we're not doing this on our own. Our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of us. This is one of the greatest things about Christianity, is that the Spirit of the living God, we don't just have a religion, people, we've got the Spirit of the living God on the inside of us. And that gets things done. And that empowers us to make decisions smarter than we are, to do things that we were. People say, man, you were smart. I wasn't smart. People look at me and go, you were smart to move to Conroe. I wasn't smart to move to Conroe. I was led to move to Conroe. You catch this? Same Spirit on David, in you, on Samson. Of course, I have no desire to tear a lion apart. But I deal with problems on my own. The empowering force behind the Old Testament, he still empowers people today. Acts 1, Jesus was talking to his disciples. He said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Power to face giants, to move out of fear. Gideon's another one, by the way, that was empowered by the Spirit of God. He went from coward to bold leader, empowered by the Spirit of God, and empowered to be a witness. Here's the last one. The Holy Spirit was spoken about by the Old Testament prophets. They prophesied about him. In Isaiah, the 11th chapter, said, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. That's the Holy Spirit. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. Do you know those attributes have not changed? He still has wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. Ezekiel spoke of a coming day of our current time, Ezekiel chapter 36. Again, he's speaking, he's prophesying of the day to come. He said, I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Again, don't ever look back on the Old Testament and think, man, they had it made. No, we're the ones that have it made. We're the ones that have been made new creations in Christ. We're the ones that have a heart that can respond to God, a heart of, when he says a heart of flesh, he's talking about a heart that's sensitive, a heart that's alive. And we're the ones who have his spirit living on the inside of us to help us, to guide us, to show us things. You ever been reading through the Bible and you see something and a verse just jumps out at you and all of a sudden you see it like you've never saw it before? That wasn't your brains, that was the Holy Spirit teaching you and helping you and helping you understand. And see, when you begin to realize that, you'll never read the Bible the same again. You'll open it up. You'll expect wisdom and insight to come. Because you've got the teacher on the inside of you who can help you. See, this is where Christianity moves from being a heady religion to a living reality. And boy, we need a living reality today. People are looking for truth. They're looking for answers. They're looking for strength. They're looking for wisdom. They're looking because they've tried everything else. In Europe right now, they have got, in the UK, they've got what they call a quiet revival, and people are coming back. Now, this was a country that had rejected Jesus big time, and they are coming back to him big time. Guys, we're living in some exciting times, and the Spirit of God is moving, and we've seen it here, we're seeing it here, but we're seeing it in other places as well. It's a great time to be alive, but it's also a great time to know what you've got. And so it said, just as, and Joel spoke of the coming day of the Spirit of the Lord. This is in Joel, the second chapter. He says, shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Aren't you glad that the Lord didn't leave the ladies out? Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. Peter spoke of this passage on the day of Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost had come and they had poured out into the street. Peter stood out and said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. He said, in the last days, God's going to pour out his Spirit on all flesh. And that means all flesh means men and women. Means young men and young women. It means old men and old women. And all of a sudden, it put the end to race. It put the end to gender problems. It put the end to all of that. Because when God pours his Spirit out, he pours it out on all flesh. And what a blessing that we get to be a part of that. And that God is doing some wonderful things in that. This is a good day to be alive. This is a good day to understand and know that the Spirit of God is moving and he's moving in us. And you say, well, you know, Alan, I've been a Christian for a long time and I've never really realized anything about the Holy Spirit. Hey, the beautiful thing about God is you can always start today. Yeah. You can always start brand new. And God's not looking at you going, no, you didn't pass fourth grade. You're going to have to go back and do this again. No, God said, I'll take you right where you are. Right where you are, it works. Would you bow your heads just for a moment? His heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you came this evening and said, Alan, you're talking about the Holy Spirit. I don't even know if I have him. I don't even know if I have a relationship with the Lord. I'm not sure. Or maybe you're like I was at one time. I'd made a decision for Christ and got away from him. And I knew it and he knew it. And I wanted to come back and he did not reject me. He will not reject you. All you have to do is make the move. So we're going to pray. Not going to have you stand up. Not going to have you come down to the front. But this prayer is for you. If you're watching online, I can't see you, but this prayer is for you as well. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one's looking around. If that's you that I'm talking to, you say, Alan, I don't know where I stand with the Lord, but I want to, or Alan, I want to come back to the Lord. Would you pray for me? Would you shoot your hand up real quick across this auditorium? Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Anyone else say, that's me. Would you pray for me? Thank you. Great. Wonderful. Put your hands down, we can pray. If you didn't lift your hand and wanted to, and just, oh, see, I missed it, that's okay, listen. God, he's such a compassionate God. He loves you so much. He sees your heart. We're gonna say a prayer. If you're online, I can't see you, but this prayer is for you as well. If you're by yourself, pray it out loud. If you're with others, pray it quietly. We're going to pray with you as a church family. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ. I said yes to you. Heads are still bowed, just for a second. Father, thank you for those that prayed that prayer. Thank you, Father, for those who thought that they couldn't do it, but you'll empower them and help them, and you love them, care about them. Father, thank you, they can live this life. And so, Father, for those who've come to you and those who've come back, we rejoice at what you're doing in them and through them and for them. And we'll give you all the praise. Father, for the rest of us, thank you. Reveal to us the power of your Spirit living in us and through us. And make us a witness for you. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.